Right, lads, quick explanation. I'm just going to give a quick fucking, what's the word? Disclaimer. The audio quality is going to be shit for both Lizzie and Savannah while I tell them an update on the whole Richard debacle. Because they're both just going to be on loudspeaker on my phone, because that's the only, it's a long story, but that's the only way things are going to work right now, and it's just going to have to be
something
that you
get over.
Well, I'm
sure I can cut in my clean audio, but Lizzie is just going to have to be phone quality, so sad about that.
Okay.
I hope this is loud enough for you. But, anyways, so I met up with someone. I'm not going to say who because I don't know. Anyways, doesn't matter. Met up with someone who knows Richard personally. And
yeah.
She told me that she was at, like, I think it was a wedding or something with one of the lads that I used to work with, Polish lad that I used to work with, along with Richard in Supermax.
Yep.
And apparently, along with telling all of them that I was getting with him while he was with his girlfriend before me, because we knew he was doing that.
Uh-huh.
He was also telling everyone that, you know, he'd stay over at the house with me, etc., etc. He would leave or fall asleep, and then would sneak back in and sneak down the hall and go into bed with Anya.
Stop
that lying rat bag. What did he say? I'm sorry, One, he was lucky enough that he pulled one of you, let alone fucking two of you. The state of this man, the one thing he has, the charisma, the looks, the personality to pull fucking two of you.
Anya also made the point that she was a minor at the time.
Yeah, oh my God, fine, say less.
She was 16 when she started in Supermax.
So he was bragging about supposedly sneaking into bed.
That he would get with a child.
Yeah. Because she was a good-looking child, I suppose.
Well,
so
that changes everything, I suppose. Yeah, that's entirely true. What the fuck?
I cannot believe that.
That was worth all of the stress that it caused.
Sorry, of everything I was expecting, that was not it.
No, because I wasn't expecting it either. And she told me this. Like, she was yeah, and like that whole thing, like, it's really fucked up. And I was like, what whole thing? And she was like, you know, that he was like getting with your sister. And I was like, no, he wasn't. What the fuck? Everyone thought it was true. Everyone thought it was real. First of all, nobody fucking told me, which is super fucked up.
See, man, they're all honest fucking snakes. Todd St. Patrick drove them out a long time ago, clearly fucking
now. All along, that he was cheating, full stop.
Yeah, because that's why the ex-girlfriend was, like, thick at me, which is an understatement, because he was telling everyone that we were together for, like, 6 months before...
They had broken up.
Were, basically. Yeah. So while they were still together. Because we obviously did overlap, and I just was unaware, because I thought they were broken up. But apparently, also, he was getting with my sister, who's... far too young for him. Well,
but
not anymore.
Also,
at the time, though.
No, that's such a bad form because Anya has had a boyfriend for the last fucking how long? You know what I mean?
Since they were like 15.
Like, do you know what I mean? So she would have been with at the time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so these people are just going around looking at the two of them and then in the back of their mind thinking, she
with
did the dirt on him.
Boyfriend.
That's
her
what
boyfriend.
Anya said. She was like, if I heard shit like that, I absolutely would tell everyone. I'd be like, holy fuck, did you hear that he's getting with her sister on the side?
Man, how do you not be like, look, I don't...
Now, God only knows what he has told other people, like. Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, if he's saying this shit to somebody that he knows well and is, like, you know, considerably, like you say, like, close to or close enough to, like, and a pure, unadulterated fucking lies that he was practically nonsense a child, fucking Gary Glitter, fucking fail out.
Are you glitter?
Non-terrific bitch.
Oh
my God.
Yeah, there's definitely more that I'm forgetting, but that was the main thing.
I don't need any more because that's already like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's one thing to be going around bragging that you're cheating, but then to be saying that you're cheating with the underage sister of your girlfriend.
Like, yeah, he would go to sleep and I'd like sneak out of the room and go into the room with Anya. Why, she was, what, getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning to go to school?
Even
we made the point of like, if me and Anya weren't as close as we are and like I didn't know her as well as I do, if we had any issues, if that was in any way part of her character, like, you know, you have people in your life that you're kind of like, you know, if someone told you that, you'd be kind of like, oh, I fucking wonder. Like, if me and Anya had a relationship like that at all, or if there was ever like an inkling there,
like, that could,
you know,
so much shit between
and
like, rightfully so, if it was like quote unquote true, you know. But like,
I wonder if that was part of the plan though, to like, you know, isolate me, we'll say, that I'd fall out with her.
He was probably hoping that shit would circle back and you'd believe it.
Because he's fucking terrified of her. Oh, he is. Honestly, I wish nothing but badness upon him. And I know you shouldn't be doing that, but I do. Basically, like, if I could put a gypsy's curse on anybody, I would put it on him. And I did fully mean it, because I know you told me not to, because I won't get Anne back for it. But anyway, the book of hexes and curses that Santa got me for Christmas.
Yeah, I feel like, I wouldn't say you can't, but I would say you need to know how to do it properly. I feel like there's a way to do it, and I feel like you're bound to bring bad karma on yourself. Unless it was a way of, like, let him have the day he deserves. Kind of vibe,
yeah,
where exactly. It's like he's getting his own karma.
May he have an interesting life.
Fucking scandalous, though. As I said shit's going to be coming out for fucking years. How does it keep getting worse?
Honestly,
I wish I had an answer.
It keeps getting worse somehow. Somehow it's like then, and I'm definitely forgetting. I told the girls loads of stuff, and I can't think now. But I wanted, because yeah, spoiler alert, lads, we missed a heap of time of this fucking thing. Like, this happened like last month.
Yeah.
I was meant to tell you that Thursday when we were recording, but then I can't remember what happened, and then we pushed it off to the following week, and then it was kind of like, I forgot about it, and then I was like, oh my god, I haven't told them.
You know, there's been a fair whack of problems with trying to get this fucking podcast recorded for the last couple of weeks, but listen, nonetheless.
We're here now.
Nonetheless.
And Lizzie only popped in for a visit, which is why she's on mobile.
Yeah, Lizzie's only here on the phone. That's why, by the way, we're on speaker, because Lizzie only has like the 5 minutes. So that's why I said we'll just do it. So apologies. This shit quality is not going to last for the entire episode, which we will need to preface, by the way. I might do like a little bit.
We will, because I've also been on the wrong mic, I've just realised, for the first half of this.
Well, it doesn't matter because you're coming through my headphone anyways.
But I'll just cut that part. Like, do you know what I mean? But I can't just be on the wrong mic for the rest of the episode, so I'll have to fix that regardless.
It's
9 to 12
for me.
Yeah. So sweet dreams. Enjoy thinking about that now while you go to bed. Read the little tidbits that I wrote for you earlier. I sent it into our text.
I have that on the to-do list because it looks long, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that now, because I'm just going through the group chat, which is long. So
no, it's not that bad. My one isn't, rather.
Okay, no, that's fine. But that's still on the to-do list. Like, so I'm going to go. I just basically have to go do my bits. Get into fucking bed, and then I'm going to read all this very, very quickly. Yep. And then I'm going to spark the fuck out because I'm up at 6. So,
have fun.
Au revoir.
Toodle
pics.
Have fun. Thanks for joining us.
Everybody listening, enjoy. Peace out. Airtown.
Back into it.
Only took us, I don't know, I don't even want to talk about it actually.
2.5 weeks. I feel like 2.5 weeks.
The struggles that we've the struggles. It's the just actual. Been... What actually originally happened? Okay, so long story short, Lizzie said she wasn't able to come and join us for the next while because she has people over visiting her.
Yeah, Lizzie's on holidays.
So me and Savannah were supposed to record 2 weeks ago. So not this week, not last week, the week before. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And then we were just busy. Both of us were really busy at work. Nothing really worked out time-wise. So we said, fuck it, we'll put it off till next week.
That's what happened. I was supposed to record on my day off, but I didn't get that day off.
And I was working every other day.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And then by the time we were finally free again, other shit came up.
What happened the first time? There was two things happened in a row. Because we were going to record on the Tuesday. You had to go for dinner.
Yeah.
And then, what was my one?
Then you got fucking stranded.
Oh, me and fucking Niamh. Me and Niamh said, haha, let's go do something nice today. Why we thought that would be a good idea, I don't know. So we went into Limerick. We were going into the Crescent because I need to get pants because we're going to a concert in Germany in June? End of June. I needed white jeans. Right, I have like, there's a whole thing going on, right? They're going to be dyed and everything, it's a whole thing, right?
Ooh, okay.
Tell me why I walked in to, was it River Island, no less?
Right.
I immediately found a pair of white jeans that fit and looked nice on.
River Island jeans, man.
I think it was River Island. Walked in.
I believe you that it
found
was River
these
Island.
Jeans, picked them up, tried them on, perfect. I sized up because I have a whole thing that I'm going for, you know? Perfect.
Right.
The size I needed was there. It was amazing. Bought them, ended up getting a cute little like silver little like this really glittery bag. Not glittery, it has like all these like diamonds on the front of it, and it's heart shaped for Enya.
Right.
Very cute.
Cute.
Walked around, I don't know, we got other little bits. Grand, whatever. On the way home, Niamh's car, thank God we were not in the middle of the motorway. We were just after kind of pulling off, you know, like where the Radisson is. You know that roundabout when you're coming out of Limerick?
Mm.
We were just pulling up there, and anyone who's from the area knows. And there's like these big white gates.
Yeah.
Niamh's car, gone. Just, it might as well have turned off. It might as well have fucking turned off. It was so bad. So she's like, what the fuck? So she got a bit of a fright. I was like, what the fuck's going on? Me, I did not understand the gravity of the situation, because obviously, why would I? And yeah. Niamh is stressed. So Niamh gets out of the car. The bonnet is hot. She's like, holy shit. Opens the bonnet. Car cools down, whatever. We ring the fucking AA people. And they're like, oh, it's going to be an hour and a half, 2 hours for anyone to get there. And we said, lovely, that's fucking perfect. So man
Which,
rocks
let's
up.
Be honest, we already know that they're lying. Queer lowballing it, like.
So man rings Niamh eventually. It's been an hour and a half. So to be fair, fairly prompt. But we were just outside Limerick, so I feel like that's why. He does his little testy test thing, figures out what's wrong. And like... So Nia's car turns back on and it can drive. So he's like, drive on ahead of me and like I'll follow you in case the car goes again. And, you know, we'll pull in, and we were going to pull in by one of the like car fucking, what are they called? The car shops where you buy cars. What are they called? Dealers. Anyways, so we pull in there. There's like a hotel. So we pull into the hotel. And so we're back in Limerick now. By the time we drove out of Limerick, like we had to keep going to get back on the motorway to come back into Limerick, we'd have been home.
Right.
But him, that wasn't an option. But anyways, we weren't going to get across to this lovely man because he was lovely. He was very nice to us. Anyways, very frustrating though. So we are left at this hotel. He's like, yeah, I would recommend you not drive it because it's going to happen again. You need to get it fixed. So she was like, okay, fine, whatever the fuck. So we ring one of the girls. And do you think she answers her phone? No, because she never does. Because why would she? Why would you answer your phone ever? That's like a really weird thing to request of someone. So I rang one of the girls because I was like, I knew they were together. And she answered and she was like, oh, we're just going having dinner. And we were like, any chance that Tasha would come in and get us and like bring us home? And she was like, oh yeah, but it's going to be like a while. And these two are notorious for having shite timekeeping. As in, if Natasha says 5 minutes, it's going to be a handy hour and a half kind of thing. So anyways, we're like, right, we're going to be here for the fucking evening. So I was supposed to be home before 4 o'clock, half 3, because there was a match on. Tell me why 7 o'clock rolls around and we're still in Limerick. So the girls finally pull up and we went down and we went to the shop. There was a Circle K nearby, so we got food there. We got like loads of snacks and stuff, and we ate way too many snacks. And then we sat in Niamh's car, and it was actually quite a chill time. I kind of enjoy sitting in cars, but it was horrible also that I didn't want to fucking meet her.
Yeah.
Then the girls came and collected us and dropped us home. Also, today, you know, same outfit that I'm going to the concert wearing, you know, that outfit. I'm getting a top and I'm getting something printed on as like a concept, like a little idea. I'm going to try it out. So I'm on Redbubble. And I had this print of a top that I wanted to get put on.
Hey, Cuiva, hang on. Before you continue, man, I can't. You know, you can hear every minute of that fucking fidgeting that you were doing with that paper in behind you talking.
Why did you tell me? I was not aware. Tell me.
Because for a minute it was only like when you were like flicking stuff off of the... Because I do it too. I can't give out to you too bad because I do the same thing.
No, just tell me because I'm not aware of it. I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So apologies to our listeners.
So anyways, yeah, me and Eve got home, whatever. So I went on Redbubble and I was ordering this top, blah, blah, blah. But then it was like... Oh, do you want the print on the front or the back? And I said, front, obviously. But it didn't ask me to, like, upload the print that I wanted. Like, you know, you just, like, oh, upload fucking PDF or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't ask me. But then I was thinking, like, oh, is it kind of like an Etsy vibe maybe that it's like, he'll email me later and be like, can you send it to me? You know, sometimes they do that. Did he fuck? I get an email going, your order has shipped. And look at the shit that came. Design your own on this fucking t-shirt. Swear to God.
You did not get the, like...
You know, on the front page of fucking Redbubble, when you get the t-shirt and they give you a standard and it's like, design your own so you can see how big the print can be? They sent me that actual t-shirt. I've never in my life... Did you know I never even knew that was a thing that people would do. I got fucking scammed and I need to actually leave a review and tell people because that's fucking ridiculous. Because I emailed the guy And I messaged him privately on fucking Redbubble or whatever the shit, twice, mm-hmm. saying, what's the story? Never got a response. So, sorry, I'm fidgeting again. Fucking hell. But anyways, yeah.
It's the ADHD. It's rampant. But, no, I am horrified for you. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's I can't believe you got a comfy t-shirt though.
It's actually a fab t-shirt because I've been looking at it this whole time, but I've also keep, it just said like Essig, which is vinegar in German, and that's been really distracting to me for some reason. It's missing an S, but like still, that's where my brain went.
Same thing. Also, yeah, do you want to hear something horrible?
Oh, always.
About a girl from town.
Okay.
This girl, obviously I won't name names or whatever, but this girl went to work on a Friday. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. You know, went in at 9 o'clock, whatever. Did her day. Following the Saturday after, so the following day, she went and played a match and they won and they went for a few drinks, blah, blah, blah. She came home on the Sunday, or she was home on the Sunday, whatever, probably dying. And she was thinking she was hanging, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden she was like, oh my God, I'm after fucking pissing myself. Girl was 9 months pregnant and didn't know, and her waters broke and she gave birth to a whole baby.
When I say... I had a fear of this shit since childhood. I would light
myself on fire. This girl, skinny blink, a whole size 8, and has
they're slim. Always the ones that never know that they're pregnant because they're like, oh, why am I so bloated lately? And it a full child. Like, no. Oh, God bless her. Yeah. Oh, that poor young one. And she out for drinks the night before, God bless.
Sure, she was out on the piss on over Christmas and everyone, everything, like the rest of us, sure.
Don't want to be saying fetal alcohol syndrome, but...
So scary.
When you don't know how you meant to... Do you know what I mean? That's it. Like,
yeah,
like
even going out and, like, smoking fags and, like, e-fags yeah. and, like, the vapes and... I don't know what her business is, but, like, a lot of people in Ennis do be doing lines of shite. Do you know? I'm not saying she does, but, like, it's very possible that, like... For all the people that it's happened to, that they have been doing heavy drugs and not known.
Yeah, it's been snowing heavily in Ireland in general for a couple of years now.
Oh my God, blankets.
Blankets.
Not saying she is now, because I actually don't know the girl at all, but I'm just saying, like, no, but you could be at that kind of stuff, like, do you know what I mean?
To just go out on a fucking Saturday night and even just say, oh fuck it, go on, sure, give me a bump. Like, again, personally, not my shtick, haven't done it, don't intend to. I don't think any of us actually on this podcast have ever tried coke.
No.
It's not every young one, point in case, here's three of us from all different parts of Ireland having never touched a bit of schnockta in our lives. But it's not uncommon either. But like, I could see that across the board
in Ireland. Like, yeah, probably everyone our age group, I feel like coke is like the big thing. Like, do you remember, like the generation above us, maybe 5 years above us, it was all like yokes and MD.
Yeah.
Whereas coke is very much our age. And I feel like the generation below us, it's... Well, I suppose our generation was kind of ket and stuff as well. But I suppose the lads above us were as well.
Yeah. I mean, there was just an even band of just...
Across the fucking board, everything.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the younger generation are into these days.
The last I heard it was MD.
MD. Hmm.
MD and coke.
Anyway, point of all of that fucking being, we got delayed.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
As you can see why. I mean, we do be doing tangent in our own real lives. We don't just genuinely. Tangent when we actually talk, we tangent.
No, we get forced on side quests. Like, we don't get a choice. We have the main quest, we're trying to follow it, and then the side quest takes us, and we are gone for 2-3 weeks. Like, it's not optional. But you do also have to remember that we are in no way trying to be a funded podcast, and to stay unfunded, we have to keep actual jobs. So that kind of clashes with a podcast schedule as well. The only way we could fucking do this full time is to beg people for money, and I don't fancy doing that. So I think paying in waiting a little bit longer for episodes to drop when inconveniences happen is a fair deal for such a high quality podcast, you know, such as ourselves. We're just going to get into this. We're going to finally get on with part 3 of, what's his fucking name? I can't
Bobby
even remember
fucking
who we're
Yeats.
Doing at this point. Oh, Bobby. Robert. Yeah. That's this cunt.
Robert Yeats, part 3.
Let's dive in.
Splash! So, the last murder that Lizzie spoke about, we'll say, was Sean Johnson's, okay? After her murder, this was when people really started to kind of take notice of what was going on. Like, before this, they were obviously noticing that people were being killed, but they were...
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of one of those things that it's like... It wasn't, like, a big deal, if that makes sense, which is fucking bizarre to me, but it wasn't, like, the media weren't really talking about it. Do you know this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And like the law enforcement.
Killing the quote unquote scum of the earth.
So I mean.
So no one cared.
He was, you know, according to them, a lot, according to probably a lot of people, they were kind of like, well,
doing a favor,
better them than us,
the streets
kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Is it Spokane or Spokane?
Spokane.
I immediately go Spokane, but I'm going to try not to do that.
Literally, you're the third one of us to do it. It's fine.
So, yeah, people started to take notice, and the Spokane Police Department created a task force dedicated to finding the killer. And they kind of really, around this time, started noticing how similar the women who were being killed all were. Like, that they all had stuff in common. The girls that were working on the streets were understandably terrified because they were very vulnerable. Like, they were getting into cars with these men and they didn't know who any of these men were. Like, okay, you have your regulars, but maybe you're a regular to someone else, and maybe that girl is one of the girls that got killed and you were her regular too, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Were suspicious of every single customer that came up to them. So, like, you know, the usual kind of thing of, like, oh, the car will pull up and you'll get in. And this was...
Yeah.
It was nice for the girls. Like, that sounds bad, but it was... better than, for example, like being in a brothel or something where you don't have control over who your clients are. Like, when you're working on the streets, if the car pulls up, you can go to the window and say yes or no. Like, they had control over
which
at least the consent of getting into the car. They had, like, they were consenting to, like, who they were supposedly working for.
Right. Whereas in a brothel, they're, like, specially selected and told they're going with the customer.
Yeah, so, like, if a car pulled up and they felt like, oh, weird vibes off this fella, they just would refuse the work and he'd move on to someone else. You know, that kind of way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, I mean, isn't ideal because then you get someone who's more desperate for the money gets into the car. Right. But anyways, obviously the girls on the streets were being more and more suspicious of everyone. And while this was happening, the police began taking note of names of girls who hadn't been seen in a while. So, like, in this line of work, obviously, a lot of these girls were, like, drifters or they were on the run from something or whatever. You know, the usual kind of shite.
Yeah.
And so it was normal
where
for...
more clientele.
It was normal for girls to... vanish basically, but they
a
lot of the time it wasn't sinister. It was like, oh, they've, for example, were working in Limerick and they've just up and left and gone to Galway and not told anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Because there's more work in Galway.
Exactly.
Exactly. Transient lifestyles.
Exactly. And as I said, if they were on the run or anything, or if shit had gone sideways in their personal life, they weren't going to tell people where they were going because they wouldn't want people to be able to say where they had gone. Do you know?
Yeah.
So there was four women that were noted as being missing at this time, and they were Sonny Oster, Sean McClenahan, Linda Mabin, and Laurie Wason.
Just a small side note there, but, like, Sean's a real popular woman's name.
I was waiting for an appropriate moment to actually also make that point, because I was like, and it's S-H-A-W-N, so it's...
Right, so, like, Sean the Sheep Sean.
Yeah, no, he's you.
Oh, is it? Oh, he is, you are, yeah, you're absolutely right, he is a you. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a nice
name.
We
know Sean as a fella's name. Like,
Sean is a masculine name, like, at its root. Like, they just spell it, I don't want to say wrong, but they spell it wrong. And have kind of made it into, like, a unisex name because I suppose they don't have the culture behind it to say it's an Irish male's name.
Yeah, based on folklore.
Like, Shauna is the girl version, I presume.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Shauna. Yeah.
Yeah, Shauna. Yeah. But it's the ad that fucking feminizes it. But anyway, yeah, sorry, just I copped that and I wanted to
mention it. I was waiting for an appropriate moment to say that, and thank you.
You're welcome.
So yeah, the police decided to act, and they began, when they were taking note of these girls' names, they were like, okay, we'll go around and talk to their friends and family and, like, see what they had to say about all this stuff. Sonny Gail Oster, for example, had been reported missing on Christmas Eve of 1997, and on December 6th, so 2 days later, the bodies of Sean McClenahan, who was 39, and Laurie Wason, who were two of the other women who were noted, they were found in a gully in Spokane. So both women had been shot twice in the head and their heads were wrapped in three plastic bags each. Of the bags on Sean's head, the innermost one was from Kmart and was decorated with, like, Sesame Street characters. So
that's creepy.
Yeah. That one was kind of the more, like, I don't know what to, like, as in it was more distinct than the other. It was like, the other one was, like, from Kmart and the other one was, like, blank or whatever. But they were looking for clues everywhere. They were like, okay, well, this is kind of like a limited edition. Like, when was this sold? Like, where could it have been got? Kind of stuff, you know?
Right, yeah, fair. Seasonal.
So a man named Rick Delante was out for a walk with his son, and it was obviously Stevens's day, so the day after Christmas, and they noticed a pair of legs sticking out of a gully and they called the police. The police arrived and realised that there was actually two bodies, not just the one, because they'd obviously only seen the one pair of legs, we'll say. And on the second body, there was a foot missing.
Ooh.
Yeah. The bodies were covered in, like, the leaves and, like, all that natural, like, debris and shite, and investigators realised that it had actually been brought in from a different area, that it wasn't from trees and stuff that had been, you know, in the locality or whatever.
Yeah, not native, like, area trees.
You know, like, okay, these bodies have been found under a bunch of fucking ash trees.
Yeah.
And then they're covered these in are a load of oak leaves. that was the fucking Spider-Man. Yeah, so they were able to see, you know, if anyone who has any bit of interest in nature at all would have caught this. And one specific policeman was a gardener, and he created, like, I don't know why I found this really cute, but I did, but it's because it's serious, but I thought it was kind of puddiny. But he created, like, this big spread detailing all, like, the different foliage, like, all the different types of leaves and stuff that the killer might have in his garden, because that was what
was found on
the girls. So, like, they were thinking, okay, has he, you know, swept up the leaves off his yard? They're in bags, because in America, I'm pretty sure they do leaf collection, don't they? Isn't that a thing that they do in America?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
America, I feel like that is a thing. I feel like, yeah, no, there is. There's services that they regular yard waste pick up. So I heard that before, and I was like, they kind of leave it out on the sidewalk or whatever. The kind of logic was that he's cleaned his yard and he had leaves left in his garage or whatever, or garage, as an American would say. That's what he used, okay? He gave, like, this specific police officer who was the gardener, he did, like, this big detailed spread. He made, like, a little, like, fucking notebook vibe. This was all given out to the other officers so that they'd know when they were going around questioning people, just to, like, oh, look out for this type of a leaf, like, look at the shit that's in his garden, and if anything kind of matches and you're kind of suspicious of him, like, it'll all tie in.
This is, like, sorry, no, I agree with you, this is so cute,
isn't it? I can see him really focusing, being like, I want it, like, I can just see him, like, even it reminded me of my dad, that, like, that's something he'd do, that he'd sit down and he'd be like, if this helps, you know what I mean?
Yeah
it's just very cute,
honestly. And I, if you turn around and tell me this case is cracked by this boy in his leaves, I'm going to be so happy.
I wish, but no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it definitely helped. It wasn't really mentioned after this, but I feel like it definitely did. I'm going to say it helped. I don't fucking give a shit. Cesspool fact.
I'm giving this him man, full credit. Yeah,
they went to this fact. Man's yard when they found him, Robert, and they were like, oh,
yep.
Look at this spreadsheet. And they said facts.
You see this leaf?
See that leaf?
Admit it's your leaf, Robert.
Admit it.
Fucking tell me this isn't your acorn.
Sorry,
son.
I just realised there that I couldn't see the, like, bar, the way I had my tab set up. So I was like, I need to adjust this now so I can see that it's still going. Because that has happened us before. So,
yep.
A boy ducky.
Oh, no.
Shut up.
No.
Shush. We all know what you're going to say. Anyone that doesn't Google it, she was killed by her awful cunt of a dad.
No. Anyways. Anyone who doesn't know doesn't need to know, Quiva.
Well, it's too late. They already do.
Well, yeah, you've ruined everyone's life now, but, like...
Also, Savannah.
Yeah.
The game.
Quiver, get fucked.
So, there was two women found. Sean and Laurie, right? And Laurie had been dead for longer. Okay?
Okay.
But they had been found at the same time. So, police now had to be thinking, this killer has somewhere that he can leave the bodies. In my mind... It was under the bags of fucking leaves, and he put them into the fucking car, put the leaves on top as, like, to hide the bodies, and then used those then leaves to cover the bodies when he dumped them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm thinking about, like,
if you were lying in the back seat and someone threw, like, bin bags full of fucking leaves over you.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't be seen. But I'm thinking about the human soup again. Like, he'd be driving around, presumably it's cold because it's fucking December, so he's got the heating on and stuff, like. Are you really going to be able
to
drive on a corpse?
Yeah, but you're not going
to
go. You're not going, like, not to be gross, but you're not going to decay that fast. Like, if she's been out in the garage or wherever the fuck, in the cold.
Do you not assume he's using his car on the rig? Like, how much longer was she dead? Do you know?
It didn't say. I found this book very low on detail in regards to some of stuff. And, like, I went and I tried to find stuff, but I feel like maybe there wasn't this the detail for it to be put in. Like, I looked it up, and, like, that's what I mean is, and I think he, in my head, he killed Laurie. Put her into his garage and hid her in the garage where the garage is cold. So that kind of semi-preserved
her. Hang on, right. So I thought you said that she was in the car.
No.
Then, yeah, no, then you're fine. Then I agree with you. Probably in the garage. Because I was thinking in the garage or, do you know, under the house.
It handy goes to, like, between 1 and -5. Like, that's the high and low in...
Yeah.
Washington. That's at that time of year.
Fantastic. Like minus, you know, nine, I mean? Is great for fucking preserving a body. Like,
it would slow the decomposition, but it wouldn't stop it. So like, they're able to tell, obviously, that she had been dead for longer than Sean. So in my mind, he killed Laurie, put her into the garage under all these bags of leaves. Then when he killed Sean, he put the two girls into the car, the two women rather, sorry, and brought them out with all the leaves, used it as like I'm going getting rid of these leaves, kind of as a cover up for neighbours, and then dumped them and then used the leaves to hide them.
Yeah.
If I was him, that's probably what I would have done.
Yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense. Like, everything in association would make sense that way.
But this is massive assumptions. Like the book, and like, I tried to find stuff with more details, like, but he didn't really talk about what he did exactly. So no. It's impossible to know. Like, you're very much speculating as to what actually, like, how he did things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't know what exactly happened. But anyways, Laurie had been seen on, the last Laurie had been seen was November 3rd. And they had been found on December 26th. She was the devoted mother of a 12-year-old son. And, I mean, she was perfect. But she ended up falling into a relapse. She was addicted to heroin. And this unravelled 6 years of sobriety that she'd... Obviously, really... I mean, fucking 6 years off heroin is a fair fucks.
Honestly.
You know? Like, and she obviously did it for her kid, like. Which is so sad. Because she's like, he's... Yeah. You know, 6 years of sobriety, 12-year-old son, he was small. And she probably knew that it was, you know, like, it sounds bad, but like, when a kid is very small, like, you kind of probably can get away with more. But as they get older and as they need you to bring them to school, they need you to like make lunches and like, they need you to be more present.
Yeah. And it actually starts affecting their life, like, kind of socially in that sense. Yeah. Because teachers will notice and their school friends will notice that, you know, why has your mammy got track marks?
Like, exactly.
And it affects them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah, so it's easier to hide is what I'm trying to say. It's easier to hide and it's easier to get away with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier probably to excuse when the kid is small. But the kid, like, her kid was six and she was like, okay, no, like, I need to kick this habit. And she did. And she lasted for 6 years. But, like, I mean, it happens and she fell back into it. And
I wonder what triggered her, man.
I feel like it could be anything. And, like, the way...
There could be, like...
I feel like I'm not being funny, but, like, if you end up on heroin, of all fucking things, like... How the fuck do you even... Like, I wouldn't even know how to go about getting heroin.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like... And I it could be different in fucking Spokane, but I feel like it's different circles. Do you know what I mean? Like, she was obviously in that circle where she's... You're kind of in a situation where...
Yeah, that's true, actually.
You're kind of... Not predisposed, because I'm not saying she was, but I more so mean, like, you're kind of fucked in advance. Because it's there for the taking if you're in that circle, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Does that make sense?
I don't know. I said... No one who's like in a good place in their life takes heroin in the first place.
Heroin is a
fucking... You're usually looking to numb something the fuck out if you're chasing a drug like heroin. Or you're around
people who are taking it, which is...
Or that.
Already.
Which usually...
Not a good sign. Like... Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody's going to give you fucking heroin.
Yeah.
You have to go, I feel like you have to go looking for it.
Definitely.
Not even go looking for it, but like, I mean, as in literally, like, as in, I'm not saying she went looking for it, but I mean, as in, like, it's not, it doesn't just come by you. You have to be in a certain...
You're not just getting off of work at 1:30 in the day and someone comes up and whispers, do you want a bump of heroin?
Well, I actually, to be fair now, me and the two girls did get offered heroin on the banks of the Yeah, and we were drinking soju on the banks of the fucking river in Dublin. What's that river called? The Ban? No. What's it called? What the fuck did I just say? What's the river in Dublin?
Libby.
The canal. I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter. We were drinking soju on the banks of the fucking river in Dublin anyways. Me, Leah and Niamh. And so man walked past and was like, do you want some heroin? And I was like, well, do you want some drink? Because I didn't hear what he said. And the girls were like, keep it fucking stop. But sure, like, he wasn't going to make me take it. I was only going to give him a drink. Like, but anyways. So actually, do you know what? I'm wrong.
Oh my God.
If I was in a fucking bad headspace there and I was by myself and I said, you know what? I fucking might go for a bit of heroin. You know. So maybe you do get offered in Spokane. Because I got offered it in Dublin.
Yeah. I'm shook because I've been offered many things, but never once heroin. I've never been offered heroin once.
You're obviously not as cool looking as us.
Evidently not. But then I realise it's because I don't hang around in Dublin enough.
He was nice though. Like, he took the no nicely. He wasn't like mean about it. He wasn't like, didn't you? But I suppose, yeah. Anyways, doesn't fucking matter. Besides the genuine point. So.
Anyway, so heroin.
Yeah, she fell back into heroin. And she obviously, I assume heroin's fucking expensive. And
I bet.
She fell into doing sex work to fund her addiction because what the fuck else is she going to do? Because literally, I feel like when you're taking heroin, it's hard to stay in a stable job because everyone knows you're visibly doing heroin.
Yeah, sorry, how are you supposed to fucking concentrate on answering calls and making photocopies and you itching for the gear at all times? Like, ooh, I don't see...
I hate the thought, and I know what... See, that's my fucking... That's my scary thing is, like, I'm that one person. You know, when they were like, not just once, never just once, whatever the fuck. That's me. I'm gone. I think I would just have to be like, that's it. I don't have the willpower. I've been trying to break my fucking nail biting habit for since I was born.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be able to get through withdrawals. I think I would have to actually leave
the
country
to try and like kick the habit and go to like somewhere where it's like super illegal, like fucking into Korea a monastery or something. And just live there forever, the because if I was here, and like the thing is like once you're in a, once you know who you can contact to get it, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Because you always know I can contact James.
Yeah.
And James,
but even
once
you find yourself getting one contact, you'll find other contacts then as well. Even without it being like connected to the first one, it's just it
exactly.
happens.
Exactly. You need to you leave start figuring your, out how that to get circle them. Where you know who can get it for you. You need to leave that
into even the monastery, move, lads.
Yeah.
Cesspool recommendation. Send yourself into the convent up to
move
the monks
to
in
a
China,
different city.
Whatever
move
you
to
need
a different
to do.
Country. Whatever the fuck you need to do, because if you know the people that can get it for you, it's too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs not to not, you need to not just be relying on your own willpower because that does be failing. And it's very fair, very valid.
God, yeah.
I don't have any. Actually, no. I'm not sure if anyone here is aware, but I lack a serious amount of willpower. Like once I'm already doing something, I'm great at it. But like once it's like a consistent shit of like never gonna take fucking heroin for the rest of my life. That's
I
not...
like that you're actively admitting on air that you don't have the willpower to not take heroin.
I more so mean that once I start taking it, that's it for me. I'm now.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the case for most people though, addictive or not, like you know.
Yeah. Anyways,
as in like if you have an addictive personality or not. But I think we've covered the basis that cesspool is against fucking heroin. So.
But also, if you need help, go get it because nobody's judging you. Everyone has hard times.
No. Yeah, addiction's not a fucking. It's not your fault.
Just but also don't try it because if you're anything like me then you're on it for the rest of your whole life and even if you have good willpower stop trying to pretend that you have good willpower because nobody does, it's a lie.
No, because that's how you get fucking sucked into it though, because you convince
and I will
yourself
say
that's
that willpower is also if you don't make excuses, because people make excuses, they're like, oh well just this time, like it's fine.
Yeah, that's already you don't
that's
have
what every other heroin addict in the world said,
rationalizing is what that is. Anyways, so this lady died because
fucking hell, Savannah. Yeah, so Laurie was last seen on the 3rd of November.
November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean also struggled with heroin.
Shock.
And she was...
How do we feel about heroin?
Listen back there to the last, like, 5 minutes of us ranting and you'll figure it out. Right, cut the shit now, Savannah, because you're fucking worse than me. I don't know, are you tired or what's going on?
I'm channeling Lizzie. I'm channeling Lizzie and I'm slightly manic.
You're channeling me, man. You get so fucking bad when I'm not, when I'm doing it.
It's the payback.
Bastards. So, she was, like, mid-binge and she forged a check in early November and she was arrested. Right? Early November 1997. Okay.
Right.
Lizzie was a whole, what, 6 months old at this stage? Just bopping around.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's 96. I always fuck up. I don't know why I do that. I always in my head put her at 96. I feel like she's older than she... That sounds bad. Is that an insult? But you know what I mean. I feel like she's...
No.
97 seems very young for her.
Yeah, because that makes her Gen Z and we can't accept that Lizzie's not one of us.
So embarrassing. What are you? You're 96.
It is. Yeah, I'm 96. Mm. So I'm like... There's arguments about whether it stops at 95 or not. So I'm like what they call now a zillennial because I'm stuck between the two generations. Yeah, it's not
fun.
Oh my
God.
Like
does your arse hurt sitting on that fence?
Fucking millennial. Call me a millennial, man. I missed it by 2 months. I'm a fucking millennial, okay?
Yeah, you can millennial. Be a millennial.
Thank you. Because zillennial is not it.
No. I feel like no.
No. Lads, do you understand why some days we just don't record those well?
I'm quite mad at
you. Here's the evidence.
Sean was... last seen before 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve by a man she knew personally, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will also say that Sonny Oster was also reported missing on Christmas Eve. So, I don't know.
Is this his Christmas present to himself?
Oh my God, probably. That's so embarrassing.
Right?
Like, this is actually Naughty Liz's definition.
like killing on the birth of Jesus is a bit
what's
much.
Worse than naughty, like you're a bad bastard, actually you're bowled.
Yeah,
you're not getting shit for the rest of your fucking life.
Nothing but the wooden spoon.
I'd fucking nobody saw that. We need to do a video episode because I think it would be really funny.
We do.
And just have you, really, like, screen record. Like, that's all it needs to be. Like, just this. Like, fuck the proper cameras. Just screen record for, like, an hour. I think it'd be funny.
I think we could do it. I need a better webcam. But still, we could do it.
So, yeah. So, Sean ran into this man on Christmas Eve. And he said that she'd been crying. And that she was, like, she was mad to defeat her addiction. That she was really struggling. And, like, do you know, like, she was like, I need to fucking beat this, blah, blah, blah. And she was just really upset. And I feel like Christmas is really a time where people, like, the holidays is really a time where people realise that they're kind of in the shits.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So they talked anyways, and when they were, you know, parting ways or whatever, she promised that she'd call him, and she never did. Overlapping between these girls now was being noticed. So Sean McLenahan and Darla Scott had both worked for the same agency and were both informants to the police. Information that Sean had given to the police had gotten a drug dealer 5 years in prison. Darla had actually lived in that same drug dealer's house at one stage. Yeah, so, like, they were kind of starting to... And, like, I feel like, I'm not being funny, but I feel like dealers and sex workers, like, that circle is quite small. Like, the girls are going to overlap. They're going to know each other.
Yeah, they're going to run in that exact circle. Like,
they're going to be at each other. They're going to be at this, like, the lads that are running in those circles as well. They're going to, you know, like...
Yeah.
I'm not discounting that, but I'm also kind of like... Is that not expected?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Definitely. Yeah.
So that same week, though, the bodies of two men were found. And it was a fear that the killer was branching out to men now. They were like, fuck. So this is when, of course, the police were like, oh, let's take this shit seriously.
Oh, no. They're actually killing real people now?
And they thought that the killer was branching out. And they linked these men to the killer, we'll say, because Linda Mabin, who was on the list of, you know, those four women that were missing? She was one of them, and she had bought drugs from the same house that they had also bought drugs from. And yet again, I'm like, flimsy fucking connection there. Like, how many drug dealers are there? Especially in cities where, like, I feel like people have districts, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of those... Yeah. Now, this is me going off purely off fucking television shows and shit, but I feel like it's true that there's, like, the one guy over one section of the city, and then he has, like, people off him. Like, how many drug dealers' houses are there?
Yeah. I mean,
like, you're going to be buying drugs. What are you buying? Heroin. If they're buying heroin, like, how many places are going to be selling heroin?
This is the thing. Like, it's, I presume it's, like, softer drugs you'll get more, harder drugs less.
Yeah, like, I think were doing a great job investigating, but I'm just kind of like, it kind of means nothing as well. Do you know what I mean? So the police, obviously, with all this kind of, like, all these different connections, they had thousands of suspects. They were constantly taking blood samples and cross-referencing them and just kind of scratching people off the list, basically. And they began taking note of the cars. Like, do you know the girls that would be working the streets? They'd be like, oh, this car was driving around the time when she went missing. This car is driven by a guy and he's kind of suspicious.
Yeah.
And they were checking, you know, bags that were being found, like, on the girls that were being killed. And they were checking all the listed gun owners in the city. Like, they were doing their fucking work, which is, not that you don't see it often, but, I mean, it's not often that we do talk about, like, okay, a police force actually really fucking...
They really tried this time.
They did, like, to be fair to them.
Down to the leaves.
So, in January of 1998, after these two bodies were found, they went back to examining the list of missing women again. And Denise Ray Holmes, Jessica Fitzgerald, Sheila Burnett and Brandy Mitchell had been missing for months, but no bodies had been found, so they couldn't fully, like, be considered as part of this investigation, we'll say.
Right, yeah.
Because, for example, Brandy ended up actually turning up alive and well on the 8th of January, so, like, pretty much immediately. On the 19th of January, the day before the FBI arrived, a service dedicated to the women murdered in the city was held, and hidden cameras were set up because they were thinking, like, oh, if Anthony's noticed, like, if anyone says, oh, this guy came over to me, he was weird, or did you notice this fella here, or this, you know, whatever, that they could go back and have a look and see who was who, we'll say. The FBI rocked up, right?
Right.
Do you want to hear the profile they gave to describe this man?
Go on, give me the Fuckboy Initiative's fucking cover of it.
White male. Oh, surprise. Fucking surprise. Between 20 and 40, who was probably a bit of a loner. That's it.
What would we have done without that? What would we have actually done without that? They never would have been able
between
to track
Between 20
down.
And 40, a white man between 20 and 40 in Washington.
So every second man.
So...
like
who was probably a bit of a loner. So, as you said, every second man.
Every second man. Like, do not most men pride themselves of being such? Oh, I'm a lone wolf.
I'm sorry. I actually don't know shit about fucking DNA, and we must look this up. But I'm surprised that they can't kind of cross-reference DNA and look at degeneration or something and be like, how old is this person? I suppose sperm, though, do they... I never listened back to Lisa's episode recently enough to actually remember... Was there stuff found? Or DNA found? There was DNA found. I know there was DNA found, but...
Yeah, but I don't think they had the proper, like, testing such set up yet either.
Like, one second. I need to double check this. Can you tell age? Yeah, you can.
No, but I think you'd be able to tell, like, health factors or something. Or is that just from spit?
It, on average, calculates age within three years of a person's age.
Okay, so then you'd be able to, like, okay, he's between the ages of 20 and 25. Now, that's reasonable.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't listened to your episodes now. I should have listened more recently, but I haven't. Was there DNA found?
I'm trying to fucking remember now, because to be honest, like, I edit them and they're your problem after that. So, like, yeah. I haven't quite listened back either to remember. I don't think so. I think they were finding something. Anyways. But, like, not quite anything that was really being able to be used as evidence, we'll say. Or no, was it like they were finding it, but it was useless without a subject to compare to? They didn't have anyone to, like they were getting DNA samples, but they didn't have anyone to compare it to.
There was no one
they
on the system or whatever.
Yeah, and any suspect they were pulling in, like, didn't match.
Yeah, because they were but, like... My point is can you not... Okay, they can't figure out who the fella is. But they obviously
But they could have been able to narrow down the age range.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, can you not
Maybe
tell
it wasn't
someone
as sophisticated
like by DNA
back
markers,
then?
Can you not tell someone's hair colour?
I would have thought so. Like, and their eye colour and everything, like how pale their skin should be. Because that's all in your genetic code, like.
Yeah, unless it's different if it's... Unless they didn't find blood, maybe it's different if it's like sperm DNA.
It could be like less
it's only half
matter was available as well. Like they weren't able to get a full DNA analysis. And like I said, testing was probably not as sophisticated as it is today back then.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I don't know.
What like fast
Do you get me? I was just kinda like
almost 30 years.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure.
No, I'm not either sure to be honest, there. But I just thought it was a bit fucking vague, and I was kind of like, I feel like there's definitely more they could have said.
But the FBI didn't give a shit either. They were like, all right, yeah, he's maybe killed two young fellas, but like at the same time, it's just a bunch of dead prostitutes, so we don't really give a fuck. This is the FBI.
Yeah. So obviously there was other people around the place who were like, we're going to like do our own kind of profiles, we'll say. So
yeah, private sleuths, like it.
Yeah, like outsiders. And they were coming around with their own profiles that... A lot of, like, they all kind of ended up being half right. So, like, they would have said something that was right, but then half of it was wrong. And obviously the police couldn't tell which information
was
correct
right was
until
wrong.
After.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, it was of no help. But, I mean, they did fucking more than the FBI with their vague-ass shit, like.
At least they gave it a go.
That's
like
saying all fucking, all Tauruses are hungry. Sure. I mean, so are fucking Aries. Everyone's hungry, like. Do you know, it's vague as shit, like, do you know, that's like saying it's a white man or a woman.
Either tall or short, could be fat or skinny, has either got
a
beard
bizarre,
or no.
Like.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, yeah, anyways, I'm going to move on because it's annoying.
We'll be fixated again. Let's go.
So on February 8th, 1998, Sonny Oster, who had gone missing on, or had been reported missing rather, on Christmas Eve of 97, she was 41 and she was found shot to death in the same way as Sean and Laurie had been.
Execution
she
style.
Was found in a rural area west of Spokane. She was a mother of two and she was last seen in October. I'm not sure why they didn't report her missing until Christmas Eve. I suppose maybe it's a case of she was last seen and it was normal for her not to be seen. But then around Christmas, it's like, where the fuck is Sonny? Like, she's always here.
Yeah.
She was last seen when she was completing a drug treatment program. So she disappeared the following day. She was found with 3 bags over her head and had been shot once in the head. The investigators kind of, they didn't put her on the list of, you know, victims. Murder of victims? The killers. Yeah. Like, you know, like the killers list, we'll say.
Yeah.
I say we'll say a lot. It's really annoying. I need to break that habit because it doesn't make sense half the time.
If you're Irish.
I know.
Truly.
I've pointed it out now, so everyone's going to notice. I'm going to have to cut it down. Anyways, so yeah, they hesitated in adding her to the list because they needed to do an autopsy because due to decomposition, it was difficult to even determine whether she was a man or a woman or male or female.
Right.
So yeah, she'd been left out in the same way. And like, I mean, her body was in decent condition except for her left arm where animals had been
eating it.
Yeah. The usual debris had been placed over her. Yeah, so they found out who she was anyways. They confirmed who she was. And on the 10th of February, her family were notified. Her cousin Dorothy, a pure fucking Lizzy move, by the way, asked police if she could go out and pretend like she was Sunny for a while, as in like just mirror her movements on the last day. Just for a whole day, go out. Could she go out and mirror Sunny's movements while wearing a tracker and then hope that like maybe the killer would like come and like try and take her away and that like the police could like then find him through her. She'd also...
Some woman.
She's fucking dead right. I'd be the exact same. She had also spoken to a psychic. And she hoped, in speaking to him, that like he'd be able to help her track down the killer. So she went to see Jeff Reynolds. And he was a medium who apparently had worked on like Ted Bundy and all this kind of shit. Like, he was one of those like high profile psychics or whatever the fuck.
Right. Like the one that the FBI calls on to help on high profile cases then.
Mm, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, I don't know if... the FBI call on him or if he kind of like does no, but his let's own just like, and then he's like, by the way, have a look over here kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he had kind of retired from doing these, like, he called them distance readings. So like, as in, obviously he wasn't
near the thing he was looking.
And also
for.
Like the person that he was supposed to be looking for wasn't, like the person he was supposed to be reading would say wasn't in the room with him. You know how usually like you're there right. And they're reading you. He was looking for a specific person by reading fucking vibes, I guess.
Right.
So he'd retired from doing these and was like writing crime fucking whatever the shit. I don't know, novels, books, true crime shit.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was talking to him, Dorothy, well, according to him, the man that they wanted suffered from sexual dysfunction, which prevented him from getting it up, basically.
Right.
And he could only... Give me a word.
Drop his load.
Ew. I'm never asking you again. But he could only do that when the victim was already dead. He said he could see a location in his mind's eye where the killer spent time with his victims, like that he had like this workshop, kind of garage, whatever, machine shop that he'd keep the bodies, you know, spend his time with them, and then he'd bring them out and dump them, and then he'd pour the shit over the top of them to hide them. But that apparently it wasn't so much to hide them as it was kind of also a humiliation thing to like be like, fuck right, you, you're right. Covered in shit now, basically. And he said, then he told Dorothy, he was like, by the way, the police probably aren't going to like hearing about all this kind of shit. So he was kind of like, if you want to do your bits in the meantime, but I would recommend not talking to the police because they're not going to believe you, basically. So she didn't. And she was like, okay, fine. I'll leave the police. So basically this whole fucking section about Dorothy going off and doing fucking psychics and like trying to pretend to be Sony and all this kind of shit was pointless because she ended up doing nothing. Because she couldn't. Because what the fuck are you going to do, Dorothy? Nothing. Only get yourself killed.
Yeah.
And also probably get in the way.
Honestly.
So.
Honestly though, the tracker idea might have fucking worked. That'd be bad. Like if she just went out and worked fucking Sunny's room, you're telling me she wouldn't get picked up?
It sounds like there's a chance. The police had helicopters and they loaded these helicopters up with thermal imaging cameras and they were flying over the areas the bodies had been found and they were thinking like, with how cold like Washington is at that time of year, they were thinking like with the bodies decomposing that they'd give off heat that they might be able to find bodies that hadn't been yet found. And they tried to keep an eye on burial sites and they were organizing vigils at one of the dumping sites. They were really hoping that the killer would come back and that they'd be able to spot him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
On April 1st, 1998, the remains of Linda Davies Mabin, so she was another one of those 4 missing women mentioned at the start, she was 34. Mm-hmm. And she was found in Spokane, just 100 yards from where the bodies of Sean and Laurie had been found. So 100 yards, like about 100 metres, fuck all, basically.
I thought they were watching the burial sites.
Not well, obviously.
Clearly, not well.
When they say watch the burial sites, I feel like it's like someone drove past, probably three yeah. times a day.
Or they left like the rookie that nobody wants to deal with because he's actually a fucking menace to the office. So they just left him go up and sit in it and he fell asleep.
And also it's 100 yards away. Like you can't, like 100 yards is a decent distance.
You can see 100 yards.
You can, but if you're fucking up the road behind bushes or some shit, like, you know.
Well, I suppose, yeah, that's true. That's also true.
Like, you'd need to be walking up and down, and in the time that you're walking up and down, you're missing stuff.
Yeah.
So,
but if you're running a perimeter, like, you'd see turned up earth or whatever. But like, yeah. Anyway, clearly they didn't do that.
Linda had been shot once and had two plastic bags covering her head, and she had been missing since November 22nd, 1997, and she had also been playing for a crack habit using sex work. And she had also worked for the same people as Sean and Darla had.
Right. So,
the usual covering of leaves and grass had hidden her until the weather had moved it, and the seed of her jeans like rotted away, which I did not know that jean material as an actual material could do. The seed of her jeans had rotted away, and a used condom was found like between her arse cheeks. And I'm like, oh, that is so vile. Like, you couldn't have just taken it away.
Right.
That's, I suppose, another level of disrespect.
Yeah.
In the meantime, right, a lady named Rita Jones had bought herself a car off a lovely okay. man named Robert Yates.
Oh, he sounds like a fine chap.
I don't know if she said he was lovely. He was just a man, but I don't know. We'll pretend. She'd always wanted a Corvette, and if this was a white version, and for less than like $9,000, she was like fucking chuffed. She was like, this is ideal. A steal. Lovely car. Mm-hmm. Sure. How could I say no?
Right. Why would Robert want to get rid of his white Corvette for cheap, I wonder? That's a mystery.
I wonder, Linda. That's not her name. Her name's Rita. Sorry. Anyways, so.
Close enough.
This new white car, she was afraid of leaving it parked out her house. Like, she was like, it's going to be on the street. Like, what if it gets dirty? What if someone damages it? What if it gets stolen? Whatever the fuck. So a relative who actually worked in the police department's property room offered to help her store it.
Yeah.
Sometime in mid-May 1998, Melody Murphin, who was 43, went missing. And she was considered a victim of the same killer due to her history and association with other victims. But she wasn't found. She just went missing and right. they were like, well.
Presumed dead.
Must be. Presumed dead by this same person.
Yeah.
July 7th, 1998, Michelin Durning, 47, was found shot once in the head in a parking lot after disappearing on the 3rd of July. And the 25 caliber bullet casing was still in her hair. She was found nude and partially obscured by a hot tub cover, which was very much outside the realm of what had been done before.
Yeah.
I thought it was very, like, random. If, to me, it gave off the vibe of...
He was running out of shit in his garden.
Not even running out of shit. I feel like it was, like, opportunity. Whereas before, it was kind of, like, not planned out, but planned out. Whereas this,
right,
it was...
Right, yeah, he was prepared.
That, or I wondered, yeah, like, that he just did it on the spot. And then just hit her and then just kept going. Like, was he getting arrogant? But also, like, was he getting frustrated that it wasn't spicy
yeah,
enough
he
anymore?
Was getting... Yeah.
Bobby actually worked at this place called Pantrol, which was very close to this parking lot. And he was actually interviewed alongside all of his co-workers because of how close his workplace was to the parking lot. But he still passed as just like a regular fella. They were like, oh, he's just some guy, do you know?
That's just Bobby.
Yeah, so nothing was... I mean, he wasn't found in this instance. On August 1st, 1998, Christine Smith filed a police report for assault and robbery after she was hit in the head during a sex act. She apparently was giving him a blowjob, basically.
That's a bad idea. You have a one, like, chomping down on your private parts and you're going to hit her on the skull?
Yeah, I wondered if he put her off or something. Like,
surely,
because
she would have, like... She would have just bit clean through it. Let's be quite honest with ourselves here. Like, if you're taking a crack to the skull while you have something in your mouth, your jaw is going to clamp shut.
I wish it had. So, she obviously freaked the fuck out, managed to run and escaped out of the car and got into the nearby rehab centre that was, like, the only thing that was open at the time. Got in and was like, I need to call the police. She described the man as about 50 years old, 5'10", 175 pounds, sandy blonde hair, and he was driving a 70s era black van with, on the outside, there was a yellow / kind of orange stripe. Bucket seats. The fuck are bucket seats?
They're the ones that, like, come up and around at the sides, you know, like in fucking boy racer cars. They kind of like wrap around you. We have them in our new car. They're actually very comfortable. But like,
oh, they do look comfy. They're probably very safe as well.
There, yeah, they stop you rolling around as much. Like, I don't fucking feel like I'm going around corners with Colin McRae anymore in the car.
So yeah, bucket seats, wood paneling, and a raised bed. She also told police that the man had told her he was a National Guard helicopter pilot and he had 5 children. So police were like, okay, you know, they did like in a kind of a general inspection of her, and bullet fragments were actually found in her hair. And Christine had actually been shot, and it felt like she had been thumped. He'd actually shot her.
Oh my God. So when she was like, I think doing her bits.
He shot her in the head. He shot her. Didn't kill her.
Oh my God.
Because your brain obviously has no nerve. So she, aside from, you know, you can't, like, it's probably such shock that it just, you know.
Yeah. Like, it would have felt like you would have felt the surface. You would have felt like skin pain and like bone pain, I guess. But yeah. Not anything else. Like, you wouldn't know you've been shot. Why would you assume you've been shot in the head? Like,
you wouldn't.
If and I'm you'd still be like, alive, obviously I think I'm I dead. Haven't been yeah. shot in the head. Yeah. That fucking hell.
But then I also was like, how quiet is his gun?
Well, I think you like it going off and getting the thwack and like the pain of it. You probably just, your ears are ringing. You don't know what's after happening.
True. Very good point.
I'd assume.
Yeah. So after Bobby had actually been arrested, so future reference, she saw his picture in the newspaper and she called the police and identified him as the man who had assaulted her. And she is the only known survivor of his crimes.
Christ.
On September 19th, 1998, they were kind of doing like, routine stops. And mm-hmm. he was stopped and asked, would he give a DNA sample to Spokane police? And he refused, saying it was too extreme of a request for a family man. And they said, that's fair, valid, off with you.
What?
Which,
what?
The police at the time, don't know who the fuck this fool was, but the police at the time were like, sure, would you not want your name to be cleared? Like, most men were handing yeah. their shit over. They were like, prove it's not me. I yeah. give fuck, prove it's not me.
Yeah. Half the neighbours think it's me. Clear my name, please, and thank you.
Yes. One random little fucking... At the end of August, a family dog rocked up home. He'd probably gone off doing a bit of a wander, and he arrived home with a chunk of human scalp in his mouth.
Oh, not scalp.
And they searched for ages, but they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find a body.
What the fuck?
On October 13th, 1998, the body of Connie Ellis LaFontaine, she was 35 and she was found in a ditch in Tacoma. She was shot once in the head and had 3 plastic bags covering her head. She had previously worked as a hairdresser in Spokane but fell into drugs and sex work 6 years after she moved. Her son had been waiting for a heart transplant and he, you know, he died. Hmm. So I think she just trying to cope, basically. On the 10th of November... Bobby picked up Jennifer in Spokane, was stopped by police, and she told him to say that she was the daughter of a friend. I don't know Jennifer's surname, but...
That's fine.
I mean, she obviously didn't give one. And they were stopped by police. She said, tell him that I'm, like, your friend's daughter. You know, you're just dropping me home or whatever. They were let pass, and he let her go. I think he probably got a fright or something, or maybe he was weirdly grateful to her for giving him a good excuse.
Yeah, or if he thought, like, well, if the police find her dead, they'll remember I was in the car with her.
Do you know what? True. I was giving him the fucking benefit of the doubt. And I don't know why. You're actually fucking dead right. That's definitely exactly what it was. Oh my God.
See, it's when you try and find the good in people, honestly.
2 days later, the police were called to Bobby's house because he was fighting with his teenage daughter at home and was, like, threatening her. Like, they were screaming at each other. Police rocked up and after being called by the neighbours, and they told him to keep it down. In December 1998, he moved jobs. He found a job in Kaiser Aluminium. And
aluminium for if you speak English. Yeah, aluminium if you're American.
It's spelled... Oh, sure. They're in Washington. It's spelled like aluminium here, but they're in America. That's what I'm like...
Yeah. Oh, they do drop the I.
Yeah.
Aluminum, maybe?
It's, yeah, no, it's, well, Kaiser Aluminium. So. Kaiser Aluminium.
Is it aluminum?
Yeah, I'd say the book just spelt it like the normal, right, fucking correct way. But anyways.
Yeah.
Sorry. We fear to be focusing in on shit that doesn't matter, but it does bother me.
Listen, this could be what the listeners think of themselves and they're sitting at home thinking, fuck it, thank God they said it because I wanted to.
I love when people do that in other podcasts, but they're like, wait.
Yeah.
What's that? So, yeah, he'd been having trouble at Paltrow. I actually can't talk now. He was having trouble
becoming German.
at Pantrol, and so in December 1998 he found a job in Kaiser Aluminum. His wife Linda noticed he was spending a weird amount of money. She was like, the fuck are you spending all this money on? And he said, get a fucking job. Worry about your own fucking money. And she said, okay, no bother. I'll leave that. That's your business, so I suppose. Not knowing, meantime, obviously, that he spent it on crack and sex workers. But we move.
Why would you need to know that about your husband?
I mean, I feel like he was probably a fucking massive piece of shit anyway. She's probably glad he was out of the house.
Oh, he was. Oh, yeah, she was. We've talked about this multiple times. Linda had a bad life, but she couldn't leave him because Linda was broke.
Yeah, she was like, okay, he's cheating on me. At least he's not at home being a piece of shit.
Baiting the shite out of me.
Going back to the psychic, Bobby began struggling with erectile dysfunction. And he ran the idea of Viagra past Linda. And she noticed around then that sex was becoming an obsession. So, in my mind, it's the same to me as when people with porn addictions, like, that they struggle. Like, he couldn't
get it up by normal means anymore.
Exactly. He was now reliant on dead fucking bodies.
Absolutely. I mean, it's that, or it's the fact that he's in his 50s.
All of the above?
Or all of the above. Yeah.
I think he was probably struggling with it at home with Linda because, first of all, sin, she's alive. Second of all,
yeah,
he doesn't actually like her at all, and she doesn't actually like him.
No, that's just my bitch wife, Linda.
Yeah. So he was like, what about Viagra? And then she noticed it was becoming an obsession with him. Like, he was hyperfixating on the fact that
he couldn't get it up.
Yeah, it wasn't working normally for him anymore. She noticed his motel bookings, and he passed it off as, oh, my job is really physically tough, you know, working in aluminum. And he said, I need to, you know, go to the hot tub after work. That he's like, I just book the hotel room, it's cheap, and then I get to use the hot tub. She just goes, all right, he's having an affair, but sure, look, what harm? At least it's not my fucking problem.
Her problem now, not mine. So exactly.
At the end of 1999, do you remember Melody Murphin?
Mm-hmm.
He came home with her body and buried her in the yard under his bedroom window.
Is this like, who did this? Was it like their mother's skull and like turned it up?
Oh.
Fuck, somebody did though.
It was one of the more recent ones.
It was.
Was it the guy? The guy. I say
it was, do you know what, Queenie? Wait, let me go through my
let me go through the Spotify for a second, and I can kind of name out people that I think it might be, because I have a specific image in my head of this guy, but I can't think of his name.
I was thinking it was one of the Eds.
I was thinking, is it Ed Kemper?
I think it was a Kemper. I know he fucked her. No, because he put, or did he come home after he got caught? I can't remember now. Or not after he got caught, after he didn't get caught, because I know he stuck her in a closet with the bestie. I don't think he buried her, was it?
I can see the guy's head, and I feel like it's Ed that I'm imagining, but I don't know if it's the right guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was Kemper. It was Kemper. He buried one of the women that he killed. He buried her head in his mother's yard, facing up towards his mother's bedroom, because his mother always wanted people to look up to her.
Or that was it. That was it. That was
look
fucking
at fucking us.
Yeah, so that's, I felt like it was like that thing. Is that why? Because he could like know that she was there, look out his window and be like, oh, my beautiful
friend. I think it's a case of, well, it was nice for him.
Yeah, not for anyone else involved.
No, I mean, shit for everyone else. So yeah, Melody had gone missing in mid-May of 1998, and it was the end of 99 that he came home with her body. So what the fuck is he doing with them in the meantime? I don't know. Like, where is he storing them? He obviously is storing them somewhere. Because I'm not being funny, like, yeah, but the way your body would be after a year and a half,
and like,
of what?
You fair can't be thinking, yeah, you can't be thinking like
she wasn't again, obviously we thought the garage, buried, like,
but yeah,
because you what, like,
she couldn't have just been in the garage.
Because I'm not being funny though. Also, like, they're calling it a body. Like, is it a skeleton that she was buried and then he dug the bones back up? Like, they're saying body. Was it a body or was it the skeleton?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, we're talking remains rather than corpse.
Exactly. I feel like the word body carries a lot of weight that I feel like maybe it wasn't what the word body to me means.
No.
Like, body to me means that you're still intact. You're just dead.
Yeah. You are still a body. But, like, remains is like shit's pretty much falling apart on you. Like, I'm expecting mostly bones, if not all. Yeah. If I hear the word remains are found, you know?
Or as you're not whole.
But again, as we said, the only fucking source we could get in this stupid cunt Not the best. Really not the best. So probably just a wording issue again.
Yeah. So she was buried then in the yard under his bedroom window. Bobby was brought in again for routine questioning on the 15th of September. And he was visibly nervous. He was sweating. He was like agitated. He was fidgety as fuck. And he came up short on alibis for two important dates. So he had like vague fucking alibis for a lot of the women. But for two important dates, he fell short.
Good.
Do you remember when, was it you or Lizzie said that he'd been driving and the car had been noted down incorrectly, that your man had written down that it was like a fucking...
Lizzie.
What was it? He'd written down that it was a
white Porsche and not a white Corvette, I think.
They were going obviously back through shit that was written down about him. And they read out, you know, this, that and the other, and they're reading it out and they goes, oh, the white Porsche. And he fucking corrected them. And said, no, it was actually a Corvette. You fucking moron.
Stop it. That's how he gets caught. Actually.
He said, no. Sorry, next line. I should have read ahead. He said, no, it wasn't actually a Camaro. It was a Corvette.
That was it. He wrote it down as a Camaro. Because first, the woman, like the like lady who thought that she had seen the other one that went missing, I can't remember which victim we were talking about, thought it was a Porsche, a white Porsche. And
then they found out
afterwards that it was a white fucking Corvette, but your boy took it down as a Camaro. Mm-hmm. That was what happened. Yeah.
And then your boy Bobby goes, actually, I drive a Corvette. Because I know for a fact he thought he was Billy Big Bollocks.
Right, but he's actually like, actually, I killed them in a Corvette. Thank you very much. Like, I would disgrace myself with a Camaro.
What are you talking about? Why are you doing? What are you correcting details for? You know, Robert. Oh, you know that you killed these people using a Corvette as your mode of transport. Yes, are you aware of that fact, Robert? He would say, "Yes, I was aware," and I would say, "So then, why the fuck would you then turn around and go?" When they go, oh, you were driving a fucking Camaro. Go, why would you go, actually, it was a Corvette, you know, instead of going, well, fucking jolly good. They're on the wrong fucking scent.
Yeah. Oh, great. They have the wrong vehicle.
No, and so then if they ever question you again, you just go, oh, shit, you're never Camaro. Noticed. And sure, if they ever question you again, it's because you've been caught. Yeah. You fucking simpleton.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I'd be the worst investigator ever. I'd be like, you're a stupid cunt. You know that? Do you know that? You're stupid. Did you know you're slow? Or is it, am I actually telling you something that you weren't
wouldn't
aware
you
of?
Though? You'd have to start, like, surely all the cops were like, they'd have a little basketball hoop up in the back wall so they could slam dunk it because they got him. They're like fucking run around.
They definitely had like an honours thing of like who gets the funniest, most stupid confessions ever. So obviously they were like, all the policemen, I can imagine them all just went,
this is up there with fucking Dennis Rader.
They were like, blood sample to prove it's not again. You. And he said, no. And they said,
yes.
All right, so let's go find the car. So they tracked it down in January of 2000. They were like, Rita Jones, how are you getting on? Story with the car. And she said, story bud, the car is actually parked in the same building where you work right
at
now.
The PlayStation.
Work ahead. Go on, have a look. Also, my cousin is Johnny. He's feared you with promotion. He's a lovely fella. And they were like, grand. That's exactly.
Yeah.
They went into the car and they were doing their rooting around. They were like, we're going to find shit. And hair and fibres were found. And they noted that the carpets had been changed multiple times. Suspicious.
Right.
Changed. Not just cleaned.
Very.
Because cleaned is normal. Changed. These carpets had been cut out.
Yeah, but to change all of the carpeting?
That is a severe amount of effort.
And glued back in. Yeah. To do multiple times. I've never known a person to change the carpets in their car once.
Even, like, I knew you could do it, but, like, who thinks to do that?
I would assume you wouldn't.
They were like, Bobby is suspicious. They went around and they went to his employers at Pantrol, you know, before. And because obviously, like, his new job wasn't really relevant, I suppose, because it was so kind of, not recent, like, it was only in the last couple of years. Like, when did he move jobs? 1998. So it's only been, like, 2 years since he changed jobs. So, like, it's not really relevant. Not even, only a year. They were like, did he ever, you know, borrow cars? Like, are there company cars? Is that a thing? They said yes. And some of which, the cars that he used, like some of these cars matched descriptions that girls had given that had they had said these are suspicious cars. That goes back to me to, which is really fucking shitty, is these girls were trying to take precautions, right? So, you know, you'd be working and you kind of spread word, oh, there's a lad in a green Ford Fiesta. He's a bit dodge. Same man is mm-hmm. coming around the block again, but he's in a blue fucking whatever the shit. So, like, they weren't able to take precautions that, do you know what I mean? That you'd be able to say, like, okay, that guy was weird, I said no to him, I'll say no to him the next time. But if he's in better form the next day and he rocks back up in a different car, you mightn't cop that it's the same fella and get into the car with the guy that you were originally scared of.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
On the 5th of April, fibres that had been found in the car were matched to those of Jennifer Joseph's, and he was put on round-the-clock watch. The Corvette was seized, like, officially, and inspected more intensely, and blood flakes were found, and a button belonging to Jennifer was found under the seats, that it had, like, popped off and rolled under the seats. And mm-hmm. the blood found, like, they matched it back to Jennifer's parents, because obviously...
Yeah, they couldn't really match it yeah. to her.
And at 6 a.m. on April 18th, 2000, Bobby was followed as he left his house to go to work. The police pulled up behind him, and they had him pull into a church car park, where he was arrested for the murder of Jennifer Joseph. Linda, his wife, got a call that he hadn't shown up to work. She went down, and because she knew, obviously, from, like, you know, money that had been spent, she knew which motel that he'd been spending all his time at, so she went to this motel to see what the story was. But he wasn't there, so she went for a coffee and ended up running into police. And she was like, what the fuck? They explained the situation to her, and they ended up putting the family up in a hotel. The police were really good to this family. They went back and they were, like, got all their cats, brought the cats to them. They were, like, you know, really, you know, taking care of them. Which, I mean, bare minimum, but also it's nice. Because, you know.
Yeah, they could treat them exactly. like shit, like, if they wanted to. They shouldn't, but they could.
So, Bobby was charged with 13 counts of first-degree murder and one count of attempted first-degree murder in Spokane County Superior Court. As part of a plea bargain, he confessed the murders to avoid the death penalty. He... through his attorney, said that he was ready to strike a deal, that he was like, I've got shit for you that you might want. He said in exchange for receiving life in prison, that he was willing to plead guilty to 13 counts of first degree murder and one count of attempted first degree murder, but he wasn't going to plead guilty to the charges facing him in Pierce County, which were the murders of Melinda Mercer and Collie LaFontaine Ellis. Or Connie Ellis LaFontaine. Right. And he said he would also lead the cops to Melody Murphy's body. The prosecutors agreed to the terms of his deal, and he sketched out a map of the yard of his home on a yellow legal pad. So is that like...
Yeah, I think it's like the lined paper kind of thing.
Oh, in my head it's always these oaks, the stickies. Yeah.
Post-it notes.
In my head I hear legal pad.
No, I think it's the yellow lined notebook, but I'm not okay. sure.
So detectives went to his house and they spent about 2 hours digging. They dug up portions of the yard and... of his former home, and they found what they were looking for. They found Melody's mm-hmm. body, or remains rather, buried about 8 inches below the surface of the ground in a bark covered flower bed. So he dug down through the flower bed, put her in, and then put flower bed over her with, you know, the mulch and shite
mm-hmm.
by what used to be his bedroom window, approximately like a foot away from the house's foundation, so like right up against the house. 2 weeks later, he kept his word and pled guilty to the 13 of the murders that the task force had been investigating. Charges were dropped without prejudice in the murder of Sean McLenahan, so that if he appealed his other guilty sentences, he could be tried for her murder and possibly sentenced to death. So they said, we're holding her back.
Right.
So you can't be tried for her.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back on your word, we're going to bring her back up and you're going to get done for her and you're going to get put, you're possibly going to get the death penalty. So that was the logic there.
Yeah.
And he was sentenced to 408 years in prison. Which a lot of people are kind of like, what's the point? I love that. I love the way the Americans do it. I eat it up. Yeah. This shit of the Irish thing of like 20 to life and life being 25 years.
25 to life.
Sure.
And, do you know?
That's nothing. Sure. If I kill someone, try what good is 50, that? And I have another 30, 40 great years left yeah. in me. Do you know? Like, it's again. Fucking ridiculous. I think it's a joke. Actively. I think I don't know what the word is. Is it consecutive? You don't serve, like in Ireland, like a lot of the way they do it is that you're convicted of three murders, you serve them all at the same time. Yeah. So they're like, okay, I've killed this lad, this yeah. lad, this lad, concurrent. Yeah, you're serving them all at the same time. Versus in America, they're like, right, you've served for this lad. Now we're on to the next lad.
Yeah,
and you keep going.
Right. Okay. So we've got 25 trials that's for 25 life living. Sentences. You're going to get 3,685 years.
I think it's amazing. I think it's
as
class.
It should be. They should have to sit there and contemplate the depth of what they've done. Like, you've got 400 years.
Good.
You're that big of a bowel bastard. You've been sentenced for 400 of your lifetimes. Like,
I think it's brilliant. I actually think it should be. I actually think it's one of the main things for America that we should take, along with the
continuous. I have to agree. It's one thing I will give them credit. It's ridiculous, but it's effective.
So
no, clearly that doesn't work. Cause
yeah, because
they
do it shite. But you could do it right here. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you do it the same way we're doing it here, but then you don't have those fucking massive leads into our exams. Like that, they're like, you do the exams, but they're not as heavy. That there's more, like,
could we though? Because the UK has fucking.
Even for exams, well, like, even in geography and stuff, how it's like, you know, you had, like, your little note, like, you did your case study or whatever. Or, like, how in home ec you have, like, your physical exam or whatever. Like, if you did stuff like that for, like, maths and shit, it'd be perfect.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I think
that's
that
more what
good.
I mean, rather than, like, the fucking multiple choice questions are a load of shite.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're giving you the answer. You just have to figure out which one. And if you know anything about fucking Anthony, you'll know, because half the time when I'm trying to do an exam, it's, I know the word, but it's not coming to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you read it and you're like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's the right one. Like, this is how I fucking get on well with trivia. Like, if you were to ask me in a pub quiz, I might not know. But like trivia where it's like A, B, C or D.
Not a butter.
I'm on it.
Not a butter. So.
Through vibes alone, I'll figure out the answer.
Following his sentencing hearing, he made a statement apologising to the families of all the victims he had killed. Shove it up your hole. How about that?
Oh.
And keep it there for the next 400 years.
Shove it up your hole at the highest fucking height.
Be good for you. Do a few kegels while you're at it, you fucking fool.
I'm really sorry that I executed your children so that I could come.
Two fingers.
What am I meant to do with that, like?
In 2001, Bobby was charged in Pierce County, Washington for the murders of the two additional women. So, Melinda Mercer and Collie Ellis. The prosecution sought the death penalty for the deaths of Melinda in 1997 and Connie in 1998, which were thought to be linked to the killings in Spokane County, because they were. On September 19, 2002, he was convicted of those murders and subsequently was sentenced to death by lethal injection on October 3, 2002. The death sentence was appealed on grounds that he believed his bargain that he made in the year of 2000 was supposed to be like all encompassing, that like this was out of left field, that that he thought that these two women were covered in the plea bargain. Okay,
he didn't realize they only got him on Sean, like they only held back Sean. Everyone else was up for grabs.
He also said that he wasn't going to be pleading guilty to those two, so he thought that, well, once I don't plead guilty to them, like, well, they're still included.
I'm not going to get the death penalty.
So yeah, he said that, I thought it was, you know, all the same thing, and that a life sentence for 30 murders and a death sentence for two more were disproportionate, freakish, wanton and random, and it wasn't a fair application of the death penalty. You're one to talk about freakish and wanton and random, and you killing women and wrapping them up in Sesame Street fucking shopping bags. Disproportionate. And a woman was giving you a whole blowjob and you fucking shot her in the back of the head. The disrespect.
Shot her in the back of the head.
She had to run away into a rehab centre. And do you know what? Isn't she fucking lucky? She was able to run away. But God fucking forbid. God forbid people be annoyed about it.
15 murders is disproportionate for the death sentence.
Do you know what? Bobby, I'll explain it to you lovely, right? I'll explain it to you lovely and fucking simple. If you get killed by the death sentence, you don't have to serve the other life sentences, you fucking moron. These life sentences, you know, the 408 years, as soon as you're dead, they don't matter anymore because you're dead now. Go me, girl.
They're over. Yeah. So do you want to be dead now or do you want to be dead in 30 years?
Do you want to rot away here or do you want to be dead the way we were saying we want you to be dead? Actually, no. Actually, it's not your fucking choice. I actually don't give a shit about you. How about that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Robert. Fuck your genuine self. Anyways, I pissed myself off. Anyways, so these arguments were rejected in 2007 by the Washington Supreme Court.
Why?
What? Why?
Why? Why were they rejected?
I didn't know if you were being sarcastic and I was like, what have I just said?
What do you mean?
An execution date was set for September 19th, 2008 and was stayed by Chief Justice Jerry L. Alexander, badass name, pending additional appeals. Jerry L. Alexander. In 2013, Bobby's attorneys filed a habeas corpus petition in federal district court stating that he was mentally ill and, through no fault of his own, suffers from a severe paraphilic disorder that predisposed him to commit murder. I think this is going to blow people's minds, right? But I think I don't give a fuck. What's wrong with you? I think you're a danger to fucking society in general, and you should be locked up. Okay, maybe take him off the death sentence. If that's something that's wrong with him, take him off the death sentence. But he has never seen the light of day again because he's a danger to fucking society and to women at large, in general. Lock him up, throw away the key.
Absolutely. Like, why does that all of a sudden make him fucking forgiven for being a mass murderer?
You should absolutely
murderer.
Not be forgiven. I think it actually makes you more dangerous because now you're predisposed. So now you're saying that it's incurable. Yeah. Incurable, yeah. Excuse me. Anyways,
that it's, just
that it's
be
there
in
since
you.
You were born. That's what you're telling me. And what, that's supposed to make you less scary?
That's just confirmation that you are in fact the worst then. You were born it.
Use your fucking brain, Bobby. The still pending motion, so it's still pending, is regarded as a long shot by most observers. Pierce County Prosecutor Mark Lindquist said, "I don't think Mr. Yates helps his cause by relying on the fact that he's a necrophiliac."
Thank you, because that's what we're saying.
Bobby remains incarcerated at the Washington State Penitentiary, and his case ended up being further complicated by Washington Governor Jay Inslee's 2013 declaration that he would not sign death warrants for anyone on death row while he was in office. He, when he was saying this, he cited the high cost of the appeals process, the randomness with which death sentences are sought, and a lack of evidence that the penalty serves as a deterrent to other criminals. So his point is that it's expensive as fuck in general for the taxpayer. They're not sought in a way that's consistent. So
yeah.
He doesn't agree with the fact that it's, there seems to be no consistency that, like, when people do this, the death sentence is sought. That it seems to be up to the prosecutor, it seems to be up for debate. Which I kind of disagree with, because I feel like it's the prosecution probably go off of the victims, like, and the victims' families. They probably...
Right, how brutal the murder is.
And they probably look for it on the request of the people that are affected. Like, it's going to
be... Yeah, it is usually the families that will pursue the death sentence.
Like, I agree with him that it should be if you've done this, anything worse than this, the death sentence is an option. But it should be up to the prosecution whether or not they want to seek it. And
definitely.
Also, there's evidence that, like, it doesn't actually deter criminals from, you know, being criminals. Like, but that, I feel like it never will, especially when they're like him and he's predisposed anyways. It's not a deterrent. I wouldn't consider it being a deterrent anyways. It's to take that fucking waste genuine space out of the general population. Done.
Again, I'm like... Sometimes you just have to put down the sick cow before the rest of the herd get sick. That's all I'm saying.
Foot and mouth disease, lads. Get rid.
Get rid.
In July 2015, the Washington Supreme Court once again rejected an effort by Bobby to overturn his conviction and death sentence. After the Washington State Supreme Court ruled in 2018 that the death penalty violated the state constitution, Bobby's death sentence, as well as that of Washington's other death row inmates, were commuted to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And yeah.
So much better than physical freedom or spiritual freedom, at least.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I don't care. Once they're not in the general population and, like, you're not a civilian anymore, I don't give a fuck. I do whatever.
I'm just saying, like, they're pursuing the wrong thing. I would be I'd be like fucking all the boys who were like, give me the death sentence. Give it to me now. I'm caught. I'm done. I've nothing else to live for. Time to go. You know, why are you fighting it? What have you got to live for? You're already fucking fat and ugly and now you can't kill.
Like, yeah, no. I think, I don't know. I personally, I'm not mad for the death penalty anyways. I'm kind of like, in my mind, it's any of the things that you can't be, like, serial killers, gone. Kill them. Pedos. Like, I mean, convicted pedos, obviously, not like the ones that apparently are like, you know, like, if you haven't done anything, you obviously can't fucking kill people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Serial killers. Anything to do with children. Child crimes. Get fucked.
Yeah.
And serial rapists. Gone. Would be my opinion.
Worst of the worst. Those would be my three.
And because they're all, those three things are the things that are the least, like, you can't be rehabilitated. You're a fucking menace to general society. Good luck and thanks.
Part of me really wants to just end the podcast there. No outros, like, nothing else, just you saying good luck and thanks and then just cut the podcast off. Right. I didn't have a replacement. We were struggling every week for my fucking thing of, like, trying to give an inspirational quote or whatever. I'm over it. I figured out what I'm doing. Every week, I'm going to give you an inspirational quote from a song by Scooter.
Who's Scooter?
Scoot. Fucking.
Scooter Braun, like Justin Bieber's fella.
No. No. Who's this? No, that's not him. Oh my God, Quiva, you were such a fucking young person. Like, what the fuck?
Sure.
No.
I'm a millennial, actually.
Yeah, but like.
You're the zillennial.
You're just. Like, fucking the logical song. Jumping all over the world.
What? Sing a bit.
Oh, hang on. I can't be singing Scooter.
Sing it, babe. I want to hear.
You will know. I, Quiva.
This isn't going to fuck up the fucking... Right, we're just going to hope it doesn't do anything. And if it does, I'll know anyways immediately.
From the H to the P, on the mic you will see, and always be a hypocrite. Oh yeah, don't forget to tense your ankles. Join our cult.